Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Special welcome to guests and visitors. If you have any questions about Grace, please see the pastor or an elder or probably just about anybody in here. We'd be glad to help you. A couple of announcements. The call committee has worked hard and overtime. We now have our five finalists that we will vote on the 23rd, 3 weeks from today. Those packets are in your mailboxes. Please pick them up and review. All the interviews are in there. The skills, styles, and everything of those pastors is all available. So please take a look and be ready to vote on the 23rd. If you don't come and don't vote, you have no say. That's the only way we're going to be able to select a pastor. So please be here. First hymn this morning is hymn 565. Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?' Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning we meditate upon the epistle lesson where we learn how Jesus equips you for the battle against sin and Satan. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today we live in a culture that is so intent on finding a God of its own choosing that it has declared war on anyone who puts forth the reality of a God that is truth, a God that sets limits upon curbing this headlong rush to be free of God. But truth be told, this is nothing new. There has always been this struggle, and until our Lord returns, this struggle will continue. This desire to replace God with a God of my own choosing. To enlist the church at Ephesus in this ongoing battle, the Apostle Paul likens this skirmish to a battle in an ongoing war, relating how they have been equipped for the battle by the one who has conquered on their behalf. An enemy warrior stands threatening and taunting the people of God, intent on their destruction. His appearance is intimidating, and he is well armed with sword and spear. To many, the situation seems hopeless, but the giant's challenge is answered from what would appear to be a most unlikely warrior. The imposing enemy finds himself face to face with one who comes wearing no traditional battle gear, one who appears to be quite unprepared for battle. To all appearances, the battle might as well be over before it has even begun. But this unexpected warrior of God does not come unequipped. He comes in the name of God with full confidence that God himself will win the victory. And so it happens. The battle has barely begun when the great enemy warrior is struck with a fatal blow to the head. The unlikely champion proceeds to decapitate the defeated enemy, and the army of God's people rush forward and rout the enemy troops. You probably recognize this story that we know as David and Goliath. Today we shall also discover that this is a story also of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is your story, and the story of every Christian as well. David faced Goliath, a warrior over 9 feet tall, who threatened and taunted God's people. His height, his strength, and his arsenal of weapons were indeed intimidating. But the young shepherd David answered Goliath's challenge. The king of Israel, Saul, you may recall, offered David the use of his armor and weapons, but David declined the offer because they were too cumbersome for him. Instead, David approached this giant warrior wearing the clothing of a shepherd, carrying only a shepherd's sling and 5 smooth stones. To the eyes of all looking upon this battle, David appeared to be no match for the enemy he faced. Goliath ridiculed and taunted him, but David replied, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." David went into battle armed not with military weaponry of his age, but with faith in his Lord. He was clothed in the armor of God, and the rest of the story you know well. God gave his people the victory. In this way, God preserved Israel, the people from whom the line he had promised of the Messiah would come. In the fullness of time, God kept his promise to Israel and sent his Son to be the Savior of the fallen human race. Our Lord Jesus faced a battle much like this one, the one his ancestor David had faced 1,000 years earlier. But this time, the stakes were much higher, the enemy more powerful. The old evil foe, Satan, was intent on defeating him and destroying the Son of God and any and all who would follow him. This battle began shortly after Jesus came into this birth, born in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. The battle proceeded in the mind of Herod to destroy his rival, and then into the wilderness of temptation some 30 years later, and kept moving toward its climax when, working through Judas, Satan led him to betray so that the Son of God could be arrested and nailed to a cross. Jesus referred to this time as the power of darkness. And indeed, it was. This scheme of the devil moved forward. As the Lord was put on trial, he was mocked, ridiculed, crowned with thorns, beaten, whipped, and finally nailed to that cross. And there he hung, bleeding, beaten, dying. It certainly appeared that Jesus had been outmatched. To the eyes of the world, the evidence was strong. Jesus appeared weak. He looked even less powerful and less intimidating than a certain young shepherd had. But this, too, was no conventional battle, for it was precisely in his suffering and death that Christ won the victory over sin, death, and the devil. In his death on the cross, Christ paid in full the price for all your sins, so that the devil no longer has any right to accuse you. He no longer has any claim upon you. By dying in your place, Christ freed you from the terrors of sin and death as he defeated the devil. And from the temptations that come your way, he has provided weaponry and armor. This is the fulfillment of God's promise given in the Garden of Eden when he said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head. The first promise of the Messiah, fulfilled and kept. Now, Satan's plan did bring about a death, but not the final death, not the one he really desired. For Satan set into motion the events of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, and crucifixion. Yet God the Father knew an outcome radically different than the one envisioned by Satan. Satan found in the end that death could not hold our Lord. But in his very act of dying, our Lord crushed Satan's head. He did so through his death on the cross, an even less likely weapon than the sling of a shepherd boy. The Lord Jesus claimed his victory by descending into hell and proclaiming that victory to the spirits imprisoned there. And on the third day, his victory was demonstrated and proclaimed to the world as your Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the dead. Christ has defeated Satan. He has crushed his head with a fatal blow. Yet the battle between Christ and Satan will not reach its final conclusion until our Lord's final coming, when Satan and his followers will be cast forever into what the Bible describes as a lake of fire. The war is won, but the fighting is not yet over. In his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ has dealt Satan the decisive, fatal blow that guarantees the outcome of the war. Christ's victory will be finalized on Judgment Day. Meanwhile, you and I live in the gap between the already and the not yet. The battle having been won, but the war still continuing. We might consider, for example, from our own history, the Battle of Normandy in World War II, where the Allies marched into France and established a foothold on the continent of Europe. There, I believe, most historians would conclude, was the beginning of the end for the Axis powers. But still, fighting remained. The Battle of the Bulge, when many were killed and wounded, still came months later. The period when the battle had already been won was over, but the fighting and dying not yet so. So you and I live every day, already victorious in Christ, but still at war with Satan and with his temptation. And when the Holy Spirit brought you to faith in Christ, you were enlisted into this ongoing battle. The enemy, Satan, is loosed with his armies. As you heard in today's epistle, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, even in the heavenly places. Having failed to defeat Christ, Satan is intent on destroying those who are in Christ, intent on destroying you. Having failed to destroy the shepherd, Satan goes after his sheep. The enemy is intent on your destruction. He stands defiantly, taunting, mocking, and challenging you, tempting you to go back to the old ways, just as Goliath once did to the Israelites. His goal, Satan's goal, is to kill you by killing your faith in Christ. He is well armed, and trust me, he knows your weaknesses better than you do. He is well ready for the battle. To the eyes of the world, Christians are not exactly intimidating warriors. You come to this battle wearing only truth. having only a breastplate of faith, righteousness, to defend you against the temptations, the fiery darts of the evil one. You have a helmet of salvation that is sort of invisible to the world, feet fitted with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You bear the shield of faith, and you have the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now you come to the battle, clothed in the armor Christ provides. But these armor and these weapons that you bear are not the kind that strike fear into the hearts of the people of this world. Make no mistake, the daily battle you face is not an easy one. You are not guaranteed an easy victory. In fact, if one measures victory by the standards of this world, you are not guaranteed victory at all. The apostles wore the whole armor of God, yet nearly all of them died gruesome deaths at the hands of the enemies of Christ. Through time, countless Christians have been clothed in the armor of God and still have been imprisoned, tortured, and killed for refusing to deny their Savior. And this still continues today in many parts of the world and may even return here. But closer to you today, closer to home, so to speak, the shield of faith does not grant you immunity from heart disease, from cancer, or stroke. It does not guarantee a life free from loneliness, betrayal, or divorce. The victory that was promised through the water of baptism is yours already. It is to share in Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil. Jesus was not spared from suffering and death, yet he defeated death and lives forever. You too, unless our Lord returns, will probably not be spared from suffering or death. By the grace of God through faith in Christ, though, you will live forever. For God the Father gives you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Lord has crushed the head of Satan. Your gracious God in the water of baptism feeds you now with his very body and blood, clothes you with his armor so that you can share in his victory. Dressed in the righteousness of Christ, you live clinging to him alone, who is the sword of the Spirit, incarnate in flesh, Jesus Christ, your Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.